We thank God for you being with us today, those that are in the parking lot, and later those that will be joining us over the airways. We are thankful to God that we have means of reaching out to people and sharing with them the blessed hope, what Christ means to us. Amen? Amen. I want to thank my wife for the beautiful job on decorating here. We also thank those that helped us out. We were grateful for you helping us in that process. So we are, again, thankful to the Lord for his many, many blessings. We want to visit the book of Romans today, and I want to preface that by saying that a lot of us, if we're not careful, we can find ourselves being drawn into the culture, being drawn into the world's way of doing things. So we're going to bring a series of sermons on Advent. Advent. I know that that's considered to be more ceremonial, but there's a reason and a purpose that we want to do that in this season of the year, and I'll share that as we bring forth the Word of God. But turn to Romans chapter 4, Romans chapter 4, verses 16 through 18. And while you're standing, there have been some questions as to whether we will have service on Christmas Day, and the answer is yes. And the question is, what time will it be? Same time, same station. Amen? We'll be here at 10 o'clock. And we're doing that because on Christmas Day, we do want to do the ceremonial lighting of the Advent candles. We'll not do that each Sunday, but we will do that on that fourth Sunday, which is Christmas Day. And I think it will give some impact where you'll be able to really enjoy and to get some meaning and depth out of what it is that we're celebrating. Romans chapter 4, verse 16 through 18. Therefore, it is of faith that it might be by grace, to the end the promise might be sure to all the seed. Everyone say, all the seed. Not to that only which is of the law, but to that also which is of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. Now, in that verse, he's talking about all of us being children of Abraham through faith. Not natural descendants, but faith descendants. Verse 17, as it is written, I've made thee a father of many nations before him whom he believed, even God, who quickens the dead and calls those things which be not as though they were. Verse 18, who against hope believed in hope, that he might become the father of many nations, according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. May the Lord continue to bless the reading and the receiving of his word, and you may be seated. I want to speak on today, hope for hopeless situations. Hope for hopeless situations. Father, help us now as only you can do, and give us the words that we have been able to study. I pray that you'd bring it forth, that we might bring it forth with power, with great conviction, because you are indeed Lord. And Lord, you're our Savior, and we want to celebrate you. I want to give you thanks and all the glory for the mighty things that you do. Reach out, Lord, now to people who are in need, to those who might be in hopeless situations. Give them the comfort of thy spirit and let them know that you're still in charge. We praise and we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Advent is that special season wherein we celebrate the coming of Christ. And this was particularly significant for the Christian community in order for us to do this, because we are facing the secularization of everything. Everything is being secularized. And while we're not going into all the depth of it, we will do so that you and I can get some meaning, can glean something from it to benefit us. I want to tell you something. It's impossible for us to live in this world and not be tainted by some of the things of the world unless you do something to fight back. Does that make sense? As Jude says, we're now in a day where we need to earnestly contend. That word contend means to fight for the faith, to be able to stand firm and to tell the devil, you can't go any further than this right here. We're living in that day now. And if we don't celebrate things like Advent, and I'm not trying to blow it out of proportion, but if you don't celebrate that, you will quickly fall into the world's way of thinking. Now I'm going to tell you something. Folks going to celebrate Christmas. They're going to celebrate it. But they'll do so in a way that is evil and is ungodly. I've done it. I've been there. When I didn't know the Lord, I would celebrate Christmas. I'd celebrate the coming of Jesus. Didn't want to have a personal relationship with him, but I'd celebrate it. Give a toast. You know, you go out and you buy all your expensive booze, and then some of the folks that, well, I don't drink. You know, you got folks that don't eat their way through Christmas. Am I right? And so what you have is the great event that we should be celebrating, that we should be recognizing. Jesus is pushed down into that little manger and even hidden in the hay, so we don't know who he is. And we don't really want to know, because that might interfere with the other celebration. But ladies and gentlemen, let me tell you something. The greatest event that ever came to this planet was the coming of Jesus Christ. Nothing else can compare to it. When he came into this world, it was not with a big bang. He just came into a little manger. But he rolled up his sleeves and he said, I got work to do. That's how significant this thing is. So what we're going to do is we're going to recognize each Sunday what it meant for Christ to come into this world. And we begin today by representing that through the candle of hope. And I use that word because everybody needs some hope. We are living in a world that is so confused, they don't know whether it's up or down. They don't know whether it's right or left. Folks doing everything and folks going thinking that they're right. And we would be the same way too if we didn't have hope. You hear a lot of preached about faith and nothing against faith. A lot of preached about love, nothing against love. As a matter of fact, that's what God is. That's who God is. He's a God of love. But do you not know that you couldn't have faith without hope? The very definition in Hebrews 11:1, now faith is the substance of things what? Hope for. In other words, when faith comes to the light, faith says, now I'm going to need some tools to work with, and hope said, here I am. I'm right here. So we want to give you a definition of what hope is and how hope works and how God blesses you. And then finally, I pray that as we close, we'll look at Jesus as that blessed hope. That blessed hope. I'm going to tell you something. Between now and the end of Revelation, a whole lot of stuff going to happen in this world. But you keep the hope light on. You keep that bright ray of sunshine of God's hope in your heart, and you can make it. I might be preaching to somebody that you're going through a difficult circumstance right now, but buckle up. Hold on. Hope is in you. And hope will not let you fall. So we're going to celebrate that today. We're going to celebrate that. We're going to commemorate what it means to have this blessed gift. And that's what Jesus did. I can imagine in my mind that before he left glory, he said, I'm going to go in a body, but I'm going to take everything of heaven with me so that mankind will know that I've been here. Can you imagine him packing up all of the joy that you would need? Can you imagine him packing all of the truth that you would need? Can you imagine him including in his baggage all of the faith that you would need, all of the perseverance, everything that you would need to make it to glory, Jesus said, I got it. People say, well, I can't see God. Look at Jesus, and you'll see God. You will see who He is. You will see what He means. You will see what He came for. And ladies and gentlemen, I'm glad to be here today and to celebrate Jesus. I'm glad to be in the service one more time. Yeah, give Him praise. Give Him praise. Give Him praise. He's been good to us. He's been good to us. When Jesus came into this world, the world truly was hopeless. Now you got folks throwing up their hands. They're saying, I don't care anymore. Have you ever been in that place in life where you felt like, I just don't care? You've lost hope. But hope hasn't lost you. It knows your address. As a matter of fact, you're on the list. You're on the visitation list. He's going to come down your street and give you something to believe in one more time. 1 Corinthians says that along with faith and love is something else that abides forever, and that's hope. Hope. God gave it to us, and we see it demonstrated in the life of Abraham. He was a man 75 years old, thinking about retirement, already picked out his grave marker, already knew that he was gone past the age of doing anything. Well, let me just coast on in there. And God said, wait a minute, I got a plan for you. And I can imagine in my mind that Abraham was saying, who, me? Imagine this, not having any children. He and his wife Sarah, now past the age, and they didn't have adoption societies back in that day. And God speaks to him and said, you will no longer be called Abram, you will be called Abraham. Who, me? Yes, you will be the father of many nations. God looks at you, sees your past, but then sees past your past. Looks beyond your fault, sees your need, but He also sees His plan. And He says, I'm going to work in you. I'm going to work in you. I'm going to do more in you than what you thought you were capable of. As a matter of fact, it's going to look impossible. Ladies and gentlemen, let me just tell you something. The reason why you were given faith is because God does not want you to simply do the possible. He wants you to do the impossible. Well, that doesn't make sense. Talk to Abraham. He could have shook his head and said, no, God, go get somebody else. You got to be kidding me. You want me to be the father of many nations. And God said, yes, I do, and I'm not changing my mind. I'm not going to change my plan. Circumstances will not change the way I think about you. I know the plans I have for you, thoughts for good and not for evil, and to bring you to an expected end. And by the way, that expected end is hope. Hope says, oh, I'm on the scene. I'm on the scene. The world wants to call you an accident. The world wants to describe you as a failure with nothing to offer anybody. But guess what God says? I got another story. Just wait till hope shows up. Just wait till the realization that you can be more than what you are right now. Oh, God, I wish I could preach up in here. You can be more than what you are right now. And that's why hope shows up. So what does it say? What does it say? Verse 18. Abraham, who against hope, believed in hope. Now, that doesn't make sense. I got to unpack that. When I first read it, I said, what does that mean? The first phrase says against hope simply means hopeless. But against hopeless, hope says, I don't need anything else. Let's erase the less and leave it as is. Y'all didn't see that. Okay, that's just a little mind trick. Just a little mind trick. Who against hope did what? Believed in hope. Why? That he might become the father of many nations. He knew that there was no natural plan that was going to get him there. Let me come down your street. You know that now between now and your next paycheck, you ain't got no money left. Hopeless. But against hope, you know that God will make a way somehow. So you go on your knees and God says, I got you. You wasn't expecting it. Didn't know it was on its way. But the next thing you know, God laid it on somebody to give you something to help you. Am I preaching to somebody? Am I helping you out? Against hope, look at it. I mean, you're 75 years old. But guess what? God's going to make him wait another 24 years before he brings the promise through. Why? Because God wants to show him, Abraham, don't look to yourself. Look to me, and I can make a way out of no way. All right, so against hope, he believed in hope. He said, God can do this, and I'm going to trust him. That was a great magician, that he would walk the tightrope. He would walk a tightrope. He would walk it between buildings. He would walk it over canyons where they could stretch the cable out. Then one day he asked, anybody believe I can take a man over in a wheelbarrow? And the crowd went, yeah, you can do it. Then he looked at one of the people in the crowd and said, get in the wheelbarrow. Now, God's not asking you to get on a tightrope, but he's asking you to get on board with faith. Notice what the verse says. You are children of Abraham by faith. So the same thing that our daddy did, we're supposed... Did I miss somebody? I am a Coleman. How do I know that I'm a Coleman? No Coleman, unless he got it from the other side, is above 6 feet tall. None of them. All of them short. Now, why are they so short? You can't get but so much good in one little package. Yeah, I like it. I like it. 50 years ago, my wife was looking for a husband. She looked at me and said, I'm swept away. Okay, let me get back to the sermon. I'm quitting playing. Lord, I'm quit playing now. All right. So look at what the verse says. Therefore, it is of faith that it might be by grace, to the end of the promise, might be certain to all the seed. When you come together for worship, God looks at you through the covenant relationship through Jesus Christ. But then God reaches back and said, wait a minute, Abraham was the patriarch of faith. So I want to let Abraham know that his children are behaving in faith. Did y'all get that? You are the child of Abraham, and there's nothing that anybody can do about that. Again, you're not the natural seed, but you are the spiritual seed of Abraham because you believed in Abraham's grandson. Did you get me? Because you believe in Jesus Christ, we don't just sit around, twiddle our fingers, and wait till we go away to heaven. That's not God's plan. He wants you to do the things that Abraham did. Today, I want you to take a good look at yourself. Spiritually, I know you don't have a mirror, right? Some of y'all, let me go to the bathroom with me. Look at, no, I didn't ask you to do that. I want you to look at yourself spiritually. Find out where you are. Do an assessment of where you are right now. And ask God, is there more? Is there more? Is there more you can do with my life? And before you say, and before you come to the conclusion, there's nothing more that can be done with my life, I want you to ask yourself, am I past 99? Am I out of my season? But then I want to ask you a second question, are you dead yet? If you ain't dead, you got a chance. Yeah. Your life could be as jacked up as a car on the roadside with no spare tire. Now that's jacked up. Yet God can take your life and do the miraculous.
Yes, sir.
I'm afraid that what we're doing is we're going into this Christmas season not expecting anything to happen miraculously. And ladies and gentlemen, it didn't just happen long ago. It's happening right now. The same power, the same goodness, the same mercy, the same kindness. And God says, I don't just want it in my son, I want it in Abraham's seed. Whoa, my. I want them to know what I have packaged in you is hope. Why? Because there are people in this world that think there's no hope. So what I want to do, rather than getting a candle up here and say, here's a candle of hope, I want to light a fire in you. I want to light that fire so that people can look up and say, you know what? My circumstance is not as bad as I thought it was, but I got hope. I talk about Courtney sometimes and the hope that she has to have. Not could have, but you got to have it. When you don't know the next thing a doctor going to say, but you walk in there in the, all the faith that you got, but then hope said, wait a minute, Courtney, I got you. You're going to make this. God is with you. Talked to another one of our members the other day. They said, I'm doing fine now. God's word and some things that other folks that were going through it, they helped me. That's the light of hope being shared. What good would it do for me to light a candle up here and you ain't got nothing in your heart?
Yes,
won't that, and I know you now. Won't that so pretty? What you got pretty going on in you? Look at somebody, tell them you need hope. When Jesus came into this world, he literally lit the light of God on planet Earth. Everything was in the dark. Are we getting that same way now? Listen to what he says. That was the true light which lights every person that comes into the world. St. John 1:9. That was the true light. Who? Jesus, the seed of Abraham. But now guess what it meant. I wasn't going to get this deep in this sermon. I didn't think it was going to get this deep, but it's done got deep. Garrison got deep as if you were on a country road and got in a rut. You know how deep that can get. It's getting deep. Jesus Christ came into this world that we might become the descendants of Abraham through faith in order that he might fulfill a promise in us that we couldn't make good on. But that true light came, and look at what it says in 1 John 1:9, that was the true light which lights how many people? Every person. Every person that comes into the world. My God, my God, my God. That's the plan of God. But how am I in the next 10 minutes going to get you lit up? Well, that simply means I got to address the stuff that got you unlit. Can we go there? Y'all ready to go there? See, you got these things, and it describes it right here in Romans 4:18. You got these things that are against hope. Against hope. One of the worst things for you to do is to develop this religion that does not allow you to grow. Say that again, because I didn't hear that one, Lord. One of the worst things that you can do is to develop a religion that does not allow you to grow spiritually. People say, well, I got all the religion that I need. I'm scared of you. Because something's going to fall short. So let me give you a couple of things that are against hope that we depend on every day. It doesn't mean that within their realm they won't work. It simply means when you're getting ready to step out on faith, they do not work in faith. And they do not work with hope. Hope is always something in the future tense. You're expecting it. Again, you go to the doctor, you don't expect him to tell you, well, you're going to die next week. Well, I might die next week, but I don't expect to die today. And then again, you don't have the authority to say when. You might say, I might. Only one person has the authority to call the day. Watch this now. Expectancy means that you're going to live beyond that. There were no other guarantees in Abraham's life that he would live past 100. As a matter of fact, he lived to be 175. When Sarah, his wife that bore Isaac, died, he married another woman called whatever her name was, had some more kids. Wait a minute, hold up, time out. You mean this man 100-something years old, and he's still fathering kids? Yep. Because when you get the light lit, that light works for him. Yes, sir, I'm telling you, yeah. Yeah. All right, so Abraham was believing God for the impossible. Things that did not make sense. I'm going to give you three things. Three things that can become barriers in your life, or three things that stand against hope. Number one is your feelings. How many of y'all ever had your feelings hurt? Everybody. Number two, your opinions. How many of y'all got opinions? Yes, some of y'all got opinions of me, but you can't change who I am. Yeah. Only God can do that. And then thirdly, experience. Very quickly, I'm going to go through these things, because if we can get those things, get your mind off of those things, then if you believe God's word, that light will come on. And I'll get back to Abraham before we close. Did he have any feelings, any things that was going through his mind or that he felt within his body? Of course he did. Just like you and I, we all look at feelings as our emotional response to the things that are happening around us. Some have even written books on emotional energy. Let me just describe it in one phrase. You know how mad you get when you get mad, right? That is emotional energy. Problem is when you take that energy and you do something destructive, like throwing stuff, trying to hit folk, acting a fool. You mean to tell me you're going to let your feelings tell you that God's plan cannot work for you? Is that what you're doing? What hope does, it looks past your feelings. It says God is all powerful. My feelings are not. Did you get that? All right, so here's what happened to Abraham. Here's what happened to him. God said to him, Abraham, the plan is you'll become the father of many nations. God said that. What Abraham did, he took what God said, wrote it on the table of his heart, so that every time things against hope, like feelings, would spring up, Abraham said, wait a minute, I remember what God said. Those of you that have read your Bibles, you know that the Bible says about Abraham, he believed in God, and that was accounted to him as righteousness. Now, he may have messed up on a whole lot of things, but he didn't mess up on that one. He said, I'm going to get this right. Thoughts and his feelings would come to his mind, said, man, your body sure does feel bad today. What about that being father of many nations? He said, I don't even know if I'm going to make it to the next place I got to go. But he kept believing. Some of you have drawn the lines of doubt. You said to yourself, I can't get past that line. Well, get on the other side of the line and draw the lines of faith and hope and say, I'm going to get past it. How do you make it? Now, let me just go a little bit into our culture. How do you think our forefathers who were slaves, watching a documentary on Sojourner Truth, that woman was, well, she was tough. That you didn't mess with her. She would go back after she'd gotten her own slavery. She'd go back and try to get other folk out, and they believed it was so hopeless. And what she would do, rather than talking to them, she'd pull out the pistol. Either you going, or you ain't going. She was bad. She ain't take no stuff. What you've got to do, you've got to start saying to yourself, my faith is greater than my feelings. No, I don't feel like it. Yes, these emotions are beginning to bombard my life, but I'm not going to give in to them because I've already given in to God. How about that? Now, not only feelings, but Abraham also had opinions. He knew where he was. God had told him to leave the land of Ur of the Chaldees and to go into a land of promise. No road map, no GPS, nothing to guide him. It was only until God says, you're here, this is the land. Walk through it. Sometimes when you're journeying through this life, rather than going down the old path of going through the old stuff that you've been through, and your opinions will tell you, this is all I get, this is all I'm going to get. Why are you still working if that's all you're going to get? You've got to stretch yourself. Everybody say, stretch yourself. You've got to stretch yourself and believe that hope already has you in mind. That's why God sent that precious gift into your heart. How many of y'all ever gone through a tunnel? What's the one thing you look for? The light at the end of the tunnel. God's faith, God's hope is so good that it'll come to you in the tunnel and say, I'm not just the end of the tunnel, I'm right here with you to give you light as you go through your tunnel. You're going to have some hard times. But don't let your opinions about things and don't let those things bombard your mind and tell you, well, so-and-so didn't make it, so that means I ain't. No, 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 no. If God is for you, he is for you. And what God has for you, it is for you. No devil in hell can take it away from you. I'm preaching now. So what does the Bible say about Abraham? It said, Romans 4:20, that when God spoke that, Abraham did not stagger at the promise of God in unbelief. He did not stagger at the promise of God through unbelief. Now, the word stagger, it means to doubt, to waver, to say, well, God said that, but I don't know. Well, then you don't know God. He's the God that makes impossible things happen. You know, people have been here, thousands of years, and yet they still don't understand the natural birth, much less the spiritual birth. You got to understand who's working in your life. You're the one that said, I got Jesus Christ in me. Do you think his power is just going to remain dormant and not going to work? Oh, ladies and gentlemen, it will work. Because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. The devil shook his finger at you. And he said, you will not get further than this. And your opinion starts saying, well, the devil might be right. No, the devil is a liar. So what you have the authority to do is to rebuke him in the name of Jesus. He might think you're just rebuking him in your name. No, no, no. I'm going to get my lawyer. and my lawyer going to tell me what to say. And then I'm going to testify. I'm going to testify to the goodness and the mercy of God. How many of y'all can say, I never would have made it? Never could have made it if it wasn't for the Lord. But when the devil said no, God said yes. How many rest of y'all can say, he brought me from a mighty long way? He brought me out.
Yes.
Through my destruction, I didn't let the opinions of other folk nor the opinions of my own mind to keep me from it. I kept on walking. kept on believing. I kept on trusting. And God made a way out of... Shout yes, somebody!
Yeah, yeah.
So if you can get rid of the feelings... Now, you're going to need them sometime, but not now. You just need to go with God right now. Can I get a witness here? You got to not allow the opinions of things, even in your own mind, to keep you from what God promised you. You know Abraham had to talk.
Yes, sir.
And not just to Sarah. He had to talk to other folk in the community. What's your name? My name, Abraham. What's that name mean? I'm going to be the father of many nations. They look around. You ain't got no kids, man. What you talking about? You know what he would tell them? It's on the way. It's on the way. It's on the way. Your happiness, your joy, your peace, it's on the way. Come on, hope. Come on, hope. Come on, hope. Help me to hold on. Help me to believe. Praise God Almighty. Yeah. Yeah, faith is something things hope for. Things hope for. Things hope for. Things hope for. My opinion, tell me what's already here. I don't know to know my opinion. I need things hope for. And the evidence of things not seen. I'm getting ready to close. I'm getting ready to go to my seat. Y'all don't got time to be preaching. I'm getting ready to go to my seat. But excuse me for getting excited. Excuse me, but ain't it good? I know that's not proper etiquette, that's not proper English, it's not proper anything, but ain't he good? All right, here we go. I'm going to close. I'm honest. I'm going to close right now. I'm going to get ready to close.
Keep going, Doc.
The last thing you got to deal with is your experience. Abraham said, I'm not going on experience, I'm not going on feelings, and I'm not going on my opinions. I'm going to lean on the Lord. So what did it say? Abraham, against hope, his experience was telling him, bro, you ain't never been here before. How you going to know it's going to work out? And I don't think he didn't have the experience. You don't live 75 years and not have some kind of experience. Even if they were bad ones, you still overcame them because you're still alive. Now, right there might be a shout for somebody who said, I ain't got nothing but trouble in my life, never had nothing but trouble, but you're still here. That's what I'm talking about. You're still here. The devil didn't kill you, and you didn't give up. Clap your hands, all ye people. I told you I was going to finish. Okay, give me three more minutes. That's all I need. Against hope, he believed in hope that he might become the father of many nations. Every time against hope would come up, he'd shake his head and say, but you don't know like I know. What is done for me? Against hope, he believed in hope. Now, why would you believe in hope? Abraham had a lot of experience. He had leadership experience. You might think he was a broke man, but no, Abraham was rich. He had some stuff when he left Ur of the Chaldees, because any of y'all know who ever taken a trip anywhere, you got to take some stuff with you. All right? And whatever he had was enough for him to make it into the promised land and for him to grow his first crop. Y'all city folk, y'all know what I'm talking about. But you can't understand this. How many of y'all know when our folk wasn't allowed to go into restaurants and things like that? So when the bus was on the road, you had to have a bag with your food already in it. How many of y'all know that? They called it the greasy bag. Because in the bag you had some biscuits. In the bag you had some fried chicken. Come on now, talk to me up in here. I know some of y'all out there looking, what? That's because you hadn't been back there. But when you had to depend on that bag to make it over, and what I'm telling you, hope is the thing that will give you the bag. So until you get to where you're going, I wish I could preach like I feel up in here. What did God do to the children of Israel when they were in Egypt? He gave them a bag to leave Egypt. And then when the bag ran out, hope said, wait a minute, God, we got something else. We got some manna. And manna simply means we don't know what it is, but it sure is good. Sometimes you don't understand what God is doing, but it sure is good. Shout yes, somebody. So he couldn't depend on experience, even though he had it. He couldn't depend on opinions, even though he thought it. And he couldn't depend on feelings, even though they would come to bear sometimes in his life. What was he depending on? That's where hope jumps out of this verse. And not only did it jump out for Abraham, I believe it's jumped into your heart. I used to be a fireman. One of the things that they said to make a fire, you need fuel, right? You definitely need some oxygen. Then you also need something else called the right temperature. It's got to be at the right temperature. Y'all done heated it up in here. Y'all done heated up in there. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. So what I'm going to ask you to do, light that candle of hope. Those of you that are online, light that candle of hope. After all, what have you got to look forward to? The calamity? Or do you look to God? If you look to God, I guarantee you, some way, somehow, you're going to make it. You're going to make it. And you're going to be a whole lot better than what you are right now. Let me put a little fuel on the fire by telling you, you're the children of Abraham according to faith. That's who you are. You have a right to God's throne just like anybody else did. So God is speaking to you and me by saying, light that candle. Light that fire today. Doesn't look good. Doesn't even seem like it's going to get good. But let hope work in your heart. Watch God work a miracle. Will you do that? Will you do that? Father, we thank you again for your mercy and love. We thank you for your grace and kindness. I didn't get to the end of the sermon, but Lord, I feel your spirit is moving right now. I feel the hand of God that's touching right now. Your mercy is at work. Because Lord, when our good wasn't good enough, mercy came in along with hope. And it says, you're going to get from here. You're going to move on. God's going to help you.
Hallelujah.
So, Lord, I pray that right now, whoever that person is that's praying, would you light that fire of hope in their lives? Would you bless them as only you can do? And would you keep them in your grace? Thank you, Lord Jesus, for being our blessed hope. And in your name we pray. Amen. I want to extend the invitation. If there be one today that you've been in a hopeless situation and you're saying to yourself, Pastor, I'm tired. I'm just tired. I don't want to fight this anymore. I want God to have his way. If you do that, I guarantee you that people say you make one step, you'll make two. He'll make all the steps. All you got to do is just throw up your hands and say, Lord, have your way. And God will do it. He's just that kind. So if there be one, real quick, we're going to stand.